fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
A just heartbreaking tragedy yesterday in Paris, France. Luckily, it looks like much of the relics have been taken out. We're not sure what the stained glass window. They say this is the most important Christian treasure in all of Europe, is the stained glass window, the rosette window there in the Cathedral of Notre Dame. There's speculation that was wild yesterday on the internet. It looks like it was caused by construction. We'll tell you the whole story in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
As the country gets more and more divided, with screams for socialism on the rise, people are securing their homes, and more than 3 million people have chosen Simply Safe. Simply Safe, the fastest growing home security company in America, and they want you to help. They want to help you fear less at home. Simply Safe will protect your home 24/7 with no hidden fees, no contracts, and only $14.99 a month for monitoring. Now, they were started by a young guy who was just trying to help his friends in their rented apartments, and there was burglaries going around. A few years later, a lot of grit, Simply Safe became a great example of how capitalism can change the world for good. They still run Simply Safe like a small little company, the same values, the same people they started with. The system is wireless, practically invisible in your home, and you can order online. You can even set up your system yourself in about 45 minutes. With just a few clicks, you'll see how good it feels to fear less. Visit SimplySafeBeck.com right now. Get 10% discount. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. Free shipping, free returns, 10% off now at SimplySafeBeck.com. Sitting in a basilica at 570 AD, in the heart of Jerusalem, lay a crown of thorns. They had been there for a while. Then the wars started, and the emperors started coming from Constantinople, now Istanbul. The crown of thorns and a relic of the true cross then went to Istanbul, where it stayed until 1238. Things started to get a little dicey for the Emperor Baldwin in Constantinople, and he had already mortgaged everything he had, including the crown of thorns. That's when King Louis, in 1238, decided to see if he could buy the relics and bring them to Paris. He was looking to unite people, and he thought the crown of thorns would be the thing that could help him do it. He paid three times what it cost to build the cathedral that it was kept in. It was not originally kept in Notre Dame. It was moved to Notre Dame after the relic barely escaped the French Revolution. In the French Revolution, they were collectivist socialists, anti-capitalists, anti-religionists, anti-God, and they desecrated Notre Dame. They had sex on the altar and sacrifices. They said it was a temple of reason, not a temple of God. In the chapel where the true cross and the crown of thorns were kept, much of it was destroyed. Somehow or another, those two relics escaped, and they lay safe until after the revolution and 1806. 1806 is when Napoleon said, "We should move these temporarily to Notre Dame for safekeeping." Well, they were moved there, and they were never moved again until yesterday. these are the crown jewels of France. And it was a extraordinarily brave priest that went into the flames to grab these relics. Whether they are truly the true cross and the crown of thorns, we'll never really know. They've been dated to the right era, to the right time. But whether they are the true cross and the true crown of thorns, we don't know. And there are only about 70 thorns, they say, 70 thorns left. Because at the time, King Louis would give one of the thorns to people who had done something that he favored. Now it's preserved in a crystal case, a round crystal case that was made in the late 1800s. And it is only out a couple of times. One on Good Friday, which is coming up on this Friday, and Easter. Usually it is laying away from prying eyes. I was struck yesterday by, I will never see Notre Dame. And it is what I had said recently. I had told my family and I had told you for different reasons that these churches and these cathedrals and these monuments will be lost in the coming years. All I could think of was we had planned a trip to Paris just this last summer, and I canceled it because we were in the middle of doing business. And I had told my family, we have got to get to Paris before it burns down to the ground and you won't see things like the cathedral anymore. I said it.
You said it multiple times. Honestly, the second I saw Notre Dame on fire on television, the first thing I thought about was Glenn saying this, because I thought it was just, you know, it's one of those things that are just so random that Glenn just blurts out. You're like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
But yeah, you said it, I mean, multiple times. I remember.
But I said it because of ISIS.
You were saying this was going to be targeted.
Yeah, I think this is actually a blessing, and we can get into that in a minute.
Yeah, listen, though, this, because I think there's a case. Well, listen to this. This is Glenn in 2015. We dug this one up for you here. Listen, here's Glenn talking inexplicably about Notre Dame being destroyed.
Because of what is happening, I believe London, France, Germany, Greece, I believe these things could be destroyed in what is coming, and especially because, remember who you're fighting against, Islamic extremists. The places that they will target will be places like the Cathedral of Notre Dame. You could go back to France in 15 years from now, and it might be free. It might not be. It might be free. But the Cathedral of Notre Dame may be gone.
Now that's... that's 2015. Here he is in another show. This is on TV in 2015 as well.
So when I was talking to Tim Ferriss, he said, so what do you see coming? And I said, Paris is in trouble.
Paris is in trouble.
And I said, they're going to hit the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And I said, it's just a gut feeling. So now this comes out over the weekend that they are doing Paris as their first stop. And they're saying it's the Eiffel Tower. It's not.
Now, there's one minor distinction. It wasn't ISIS. It was construction workers.
Okay, but wait a minute. Hang on just a second. That was 2015. In 2016, ISIS targeted Notre Dame. And 2017, they tried to blow it up with a car bomb.
I was going to say, like, this is the fact that Notre Dame caught on fire yesterday was not what proved you right. It was these two, I mean, multiple attacks and attempts to get rid of Notre Dame by ISIS.
Yes.
Like, this has already happened.
Yes. And that's why I say I think this is a blessing. And we'll get into the conspiracy theories and everything else and debunk all of that. And I want to say that again, debunk all of that.
We should be clear, though. They're not saying for sure what happened.
No,
but it looks to be.
It looks strongly to be.
Related to their renovations.
Correct.
But we do not know that yet.
Correct.
That is not confirmed.
Correct.
By anybody.
And we'll talk about all of that. But let me just say this. I think if it was construction, this is actually a blessing. Imagine if we knew today that ISIS had gone in and started a fire in Notre Dame and had burned that thing just as badly as it is, had burned Notre Dame down. Think about what people are saying in France now. This, it's their White House, if you will. I can't think of a more precious building in America than this.
And you mentioned the Crown of Thorns. There was a piece of the Crown of Thorns in the spire to protect the building.
Wow.
And that's obviously lost. If you watch the video, the spire collapses. Yeah. There's no way that they're going to be able to get that. I can't imagine, unless it was protected in some strength, you know, in a way to defend against just this. Maybe they thought of that. But that's how serious it is. I mean, this is foundational.
Yeah, this is like blowing up or burning down Buckingham Palace. This is the symbol of France, and longer than the Eiffel Tower. Bringing down the Eiffel Tower is bad. Notre Dame is what is left of the spiritual side of France, and it, because it is so ingrained in French history, it has become almost spiritual, even for those who don't believe in God. It is a sacred place, even for those who don't understand the sacred the way a religious person might. So it is actually, in a way, it could help diffuse things. By taking this and removing this as a target is actually probably a very good thing long run.
That's a different way of looking at that. But
imagine what today would be like if we found out last night if they had blown that up.
And there are a million conspiracies going around, but be clear that if it was ISIS and it was confirmed, there'd be a million conspiracy theorists saying they were only blaming Muslims because they wanted to inflame tensions and create war. So there's no side is
clean.
Innocent on this one.
Yeah. That's why we want to be very, very clear that it looks like it is not anything to do with extremism of any kind.
So,
extremism was going in on all directions in France. Just this last weekend, they told the police, I love this, that you can actually load your guns now and you can shoot a yellow vest protester if you feel you need to.
Do they know that guns become dangerous when you load them?
I don't. It's France. Probably not.
Okay.
They don't. They're still trying to fit. What is this? A bullet? I don't understand.
Here comes Adolf. We can load our guns now.
All right. First, let me tell you, before we get back into this and debunk some of those conspiracy theories and show you what we've looked into while you were asleep, we'll do that here in just 1 minute. First, let me tell you, if you're in constant pain, you are not alone. There are millions of Americans who feel like this. And they don't have a quality of life anymore. They don't get to do what they want to do. Are you one of those people? Try Relief Factor. Try it. Just try it for 3 weeks. Take it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is how I take it every single day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You take this and you will feel the difference. It has key ingredients, four key ingredients, that what they do is they reduce the inflammation in your body. And when it reduces the inflammation, your pain goes down. Inflammation is a really bad thing in your body for multiple reasons. Pain is one of them. Try Relief Factor. 70% of the people who try it for 3 weeks and their quick start go on to order more month after month. It works. Relief Factor. Get your life back. Call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, or relieffactor.com. 10 seconds, station ID. This is the sound outside of the Notre Dame Cathedral last night as people gathered. Okay, so Jason is here, Jason Buttrill, who is a chief researcher and has been watching these things in particular, especially ISIS in Europe with me for over 5 years now. This is something that we saw coming, just not through construction. How convinced are you that it is construction, Jason?
I'm 90% convinced.
Yeah, me too.
The first couple of fire alarms that went off centered around the area where they're actually doing the renovations. So I think it's right at the base of the spire that you saw collapse yesterday.
They were not working at 6 o'clock, were they? This is when the fire broke out. It was around six.
Yeah.
I mean, the French working till six, that's not possible.
No, that's unheard of.
Yeah. They work an hour a day.
Yeah, no, it didn't sound like it. And all the, I was reading their schedule, and apparently they take very, very special care to inspect that area because it's that wooden, iconic wooden, area up there. And I guess they inspect it three times a day to make sure that it doesn't catch fire.
Oh, you're kidding.
Three times a day. But tragically, that's exactly the spot that catches fire. It's absolutely horrible.
So I know we don't have any clue, but I mean, are we guessing that it was like electrical or
that? That's what I think. Unless it was some French drywaller that was like, and threw a cigarette butt or something like that. But I don't think that's the case. My guess would be probably like some electrical equipment that malfunctioned or short circuited or something like that. That's the only thing I can think of. But
so tell me about the fire department not being dispatched right away. Did you read up on that at all?
There was. Yeah. So the very first call was, like you said, somewhere around six. Then I guess they went to inspect it, couldn't see a fire up there. So then they called. But then 20 minutes later, I think it was 20 minutes, the fire alarm goes off again. But this time they were like, let's get somebody out here because this is kind of crazy. But then it took another extended period of time for the fire trucks to get there because that was right during rush hour. So not only were they delayed because of the second call, the first call, they kind of dismissed it. Then they were delayed in traffic. So that's what took so long. And I guess that's why the fire was able to spread without them actually doing anything for such a long time.
Unbelievable.
Horrible.
Okay. So as you were looking, I asked you yesterday afternoon when this happened, I said, Jason, go look and see, because I didn't think that even if it was Islamic extremism, I didn't think we would be getting the truth because it would set fire to the entire country. And so they might want to bury this. Did you see any evidence of anybody burying anything?
No, nobody burying anything.
Yeah.
A whole lot of evidence of people coming out and saying a lot of crazy stuff, really.
Correct.
And that's
correct.
What's insane is just how, pardon the pun, on fire France is right now.
There have been 11 churches in the last 40 days in France that have been burned.
Yeah, 12 churches in 1 week last month. One was the Saint Sulpice church, which was in the Da Vinci Code in the movie. Uh-huh. They use that. That fire
the documentary,
the documentary Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Catholics love that.
That people went in and actually set.
By the way, if you ever go into the Vatican secret archives, which nobody ever gets to go in, but I went in. Do not bring up Dan Brown.
Which you did, by
which
the way.
I did, and it got ugly fast.
They do not think it's funny.
No. We were walking. There was no problem. Everybody's just walking along, having a nice time. We're just chit-chatting on way from one place to another. And I said, so let me ask you. Now, I know it's not true, but the Dan Brown... I got that far, and everyone stopped. Dan Brown, he is not a scholar. Like, okay, I got it. Anyway.
The St. Sulpice fire was set in, some clothing. So, the clothing they set out for the poor, some people went and set fire to that. But that was one of the fires. They were able to put that out without anybody getting hurt. But the other attacks were really, really crude and vulgar. One was another attack that week where they put some vandals came in and they put excrement on the wall and made a cross out of excrement. Another one is
is very biblical. Excrement and using it to deface things is very biblical. We talked about this, remember, during Occupy Wall Street, where they were defecating on cop cars and they were defecating on things. It's actually part of a ritual. Old Testament evil Baal kind of stuff. Excrement is is ritualistic in its own right.
And that's just one of the attacks. Others involved, they all typically involved desecrating the Christ statue or symbol
yes.
up on the walls,
yes.
contorting him into obscene gestures, desecrating the altars, things like that. It was really, really just crude, vile things.
Right. And there was, I think, 60 of these in the last year in Germany and Brussels. The attacks on Christians is out of control in Europe.
Oh, absolutely out of control. I looked at the official Ministry of Interior numbers. There were over 1,700 attacks, religious-based attacks, either on churches or people, in 2018. Only 100 of those were attacks on Muslims, which, if you listen to anybody else probably talking about this, pontificating about it, they're probably going to say it's all about Muslims. But only 100 of those 1,700 were attacks on Muslims. 541 of those were anti-Semitic attacks on Jews or synagogues. 1,063 were attacks on Christians and churches. Hmm. That comes out to about 2 a day from that time period up until today.
Christianity is under attack. Thank God that so far as we know, was not the case in Paris yesterday. In some ways, this is a godsend.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right, let me tell you about Norton Security. They've been an expert in cybersecurity for so many years, and they're ahead of their days again this time. They've just launched their own VPN technology. What's a VPN, Stu?
I always think of it, for some reason, I think of the movie Sneakers, which was a huge hit yes. back in the 80s or 90s or something.
Yeah.
And when they show they're trying to hide their identity and like they're tracing it and it's bouncing around from city to city mm-hmm. and like they're about to get close and that's what was when they unplug it at the last second
right.
just after they did whatever task they needed to do.
Right. Still downloading. I need two more seconds.
Yeah, exactly. right. Every yes. scene in that movie is that.
Right. Okay, so that's what a VPN is, well, in a way, kind of. It just masks where you are, so nobody can ever hack into your stuff. And if you're using public Wi-Fi, I mean, that is really... I mean, you wouldn't walk into the dirtiest restroom in public, and have lunch. That's what it's like using a public server. Don't do it, please. Go to Norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN. Price starts about $3 a month.
So we had part two of the Joe Biden expose. Joe Biden's excellent adventure to China. See the details. BlazeTV.com/Glenn.
Welcome, Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, the podcast that you can hear live as they record it every morning prior mm-hmm. to this broadcast. Then you can listen to it anytime that you would like. Welcome to the program, Pat.
Thank you.
What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I thought the Notre Dame thing is so sad. 850 years of history just burning down in front of our eyes. It's amazing.
It's really kind of almost emblematic of how I feel in some ways that we're losing our history. We're just destroying the great. Accomplishments.
We're changing our conversation. We're changing our traditions. We're yeah. changing our history.
Right.
Yes.
And it is. You watched that and you thought, it's gone.
Wow. Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't. But
fortunately, yeah, they saved the main part of the cathedral, which is great. But that steeple crashing down was just so disheartening.
Was anybody else? You know, I wrote this in a tweet and I didn't see any of the responses, so I don't know if anybody related to it. But I just said. The steeple crashed, and I said, those of us in America just had a horrible flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel that way to
it
you?
It did. I thought of 9/11 for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, me too. And yeah. I didn't know if anybody else felt that.
There's no evidence of that in this, but...
No. But
just the symbolism of that thing falling.
Yeah, like when the world collapsed, turns in. It yeah. just felt the same.
It did. But these evil billionaires... who donated $339 million the day of the fire. I wonder if that'll give anybody pause about evil billionaires.
Nope.
Already they've raised $600 million. Jeez. Did you see that? It's something bit over $600 million.
You know how much it's going to cost to rebuild?
How much?
I don't remember. Well, A, we don't know the cost of rebuilding it, but just the cost alone. Look up what the restoration was supposed to cost.
Well, it can't be more than $600 million, can it?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was, wow. The restoration that they were doing, they just started, was supposed to take 30 years to finish.
Wow.
30 years. We may not see this thing restored in our lifetime.
So they said before the blaze, restoration costs had already been estimated at $170 million.
Okay, 170. Okay. I thought.
But that's, I mean, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and then that's just a lot, restoration.
$600 should cover it.
Ah.
Maybe just make a normal concrete building and just, you know, right. just make a skyscraper and call
it
a day.
Put it in a bubble, man. So the thing that I saw, because I went back and I was looking at what they were restoring and the things that they couldn't restore at that point that they might now, is the concrete that they put between the stones has no... I don't even know what you would call it. No way for the water to go through the concrete. So the concrete is rock solid, but the stones are very porous. And so what's happening is, as it's been raining on it for all these years, these stones are just washing away. So the entire walls are just rickety. The concrete in between, good. The stones are turning into sand.
Wow.
And so they didn't know at the time what they were going to do. And I bet now with this kind of opportunity of, look, everything's destroyed on the inside. Why don't we start from the foundation and start to go back up? I don't think it's just going to be a restoration of what was lost. I bet you it becomes a restoration from the ground up.
Well, it's amazing to think that building, our nation is about a third the age of that building. One third. We've been here for 243 years. They're 850, and then they started building it 900 years ago. I mean, that's amazing. All of that history, and so much of it just burned down yesterday. It's really sad. How convinced are you, though, that the actual crown of thorns has been stored there? Not convinced?
No, huh. I'm not.
I'm a tad skeptical as well.
Yeah. Well, it was found in 570.
Was it?
Yeah, 570 in Jerusalem.
Mary Magdalene supposedly dropped it off long before that. How come
really?
It took him so long to find?
I don't know. It was in a basilica.
You would think you'd keep track of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's from the actual crucifixion? Yeah, maybe we should put that in a special place. I don't know.
Well, what was a special place back then?
An attic, I guess.
No, it was like kids with, you know, their toys who were like, oh, that's an original Star Wars. You should have left it in the box.
A little more important than an original Star Wars,
yeah,
I'm thinking.
Whatever.
Did you see that there's a movie coming out, a Mary Magdalene movie?
Yeah,
with like
about her
Joaquin
specifically,
Phoenix as Jesus.
Yeah,
what?
Oh, it's gonna be. I'm sure it's not gonna be controversial at all.
So I have the screener.
Man.
They sent me the screener.
Oh,
I
really?
Haven't watched it.
What's
yet.
What's it called?
Mary Magdalene.
I think it's called Mary Magdalene.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And who plays Mary Magdalene?
It's a female.
I saw like the opening 10 minutes and it was really pretty good. It was really good.
Well, if they sent it to you, though, that means that it is seemingly a
yeah,
leftover.
They must
right?
think it's really pretty good.
Remember, they invited us to go see Noah.
Well, true.
But Noah, I'm not saying it was the right movie, but they were trying to appeal. It's not like Last Temptation of Christ, right? Where they're not trying to appeal to religious people. They're trying to appeal to people, you know, maybe.
Yeah, no, whoever made this is trying to appeal to religious audience. I just don't know what it says. Yeah, I haven't watched the movie, but it looked really good. I thought it looked really good.
Are they alleging?
I was surprised that the laser guns.
Is it like a relationship thing between the two of them?
No, they're not. They are.
Not in the trailer, at least, that I saw.
Yeah, no. She loves him. And
like romantically or
yeah, it's a love, you know, that surpasses all love. It's not like
the Apocrypha
is hot.
The Apocrypha.
Yeah, I know.
You know, alleges that they were married.
Correct.
So
but it's not a it, it's it didn't look like there was a temptation of, you know, if I could just get Jesus in the sack. It doesn't look like that, which would be so horrible.
She seems
horrible.
To be a very dedicated follower, is the
very
way it looks
dedicated
to
follower. And she's to be married to somebody else, and she's like, I've got to be with him. I have to be with him. And it's not, it didn't
but
appear.
But that could be just a disciple thing,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
that's what it appears.
Yes.
That's what it appears.
John.
And yeah. She loves him, mm-hmm. but it seems like.
So did Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
So
instead of a few billion people, too.
Yes.
You know, yes. I noticed it's not.
So do I.
That number seems to be getting uh-huh. smaller recently. Yeah, have you noticed
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there's been some symbolism in the last day or two that's been, yeah. you know, certain buildings yeah. burning to the ground is a little, that's a little, I don't know. It doesn't, it's not the best optics at the moment.
No.
Considering the current state of
perhaps
faith in the world.
Perhaps another reminder.
And at sure. the very start of Holy Week, it does seem more than coincidental, but apparently, I mean, they're just saying it's coincidence, right?
They
don't think there was anything nefarious going on.
They are not saying what the cause was yet, right? They don't.
I heard
know.
It was from the remodeling.
That's what yeah. they keep. They're saying that's what they believe is
it
most
started,
likely, however.
It started up on the real rickety wood part where they are remodeling. But as we just pointed out with Jason, they check that 3 times a day specifically for fire. They have,
really?
They have, yeah, an elaborate, elaborate checks and balances where an inspector comes 3 times a day. So if you're inspecting it 3 times a day, you know that it's likely that the place could burn down right. if you're not careful.
Because
so.
It's really mm-hmm. old, dry wood, right? Like this is
so
the
maybe
part
they
where they call
should have checked it 4 times a day.
Yeah, maybe.
They call it the forest. Is this the part mm-hmm. that they call the forest, which is like it's such old wood that they that was their nickname for it? Mm-hmm. Which you know,
yeah, because I read someplace that it took like 54 forests to build that part. It was like some ungodly.
Or godly in this case,
you know, amount of wood that was required for that part.
Yeah,
I thought it was amazing when the steeple was on fire right before it went down. It was all covered in lead, and the lead was literally melting. And so when you look at the spire, if you can see it through the smoke, there's a couple of shots where it's kind of close. And it the spire, the actual structure of it, is just glowing red. It's an amazing shot because everything was, all the mm-hmm. metal was, of course, we know metal doesn't melt.
Right.
I remember that.
Steel certainly doesn't.
Yeah.
Unless you've seen it poured.
Fair point.
It was an optical illusion.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. Here's your last chance to win a gun that has revolutionized the firearms world. The USCCA is giving you 19 chances to win this gun. The United States Concealed Carry Association, 100% American-based organization dedicated to bringing you industry-leading education, training, and legal protection. So, which gun are you winning? Here are the hints. It's a high-tech polymer frame, makes it lightweight and comfortable to conceal, highly customizable, renowned for being durable, rugged, reliable, even in the most extreme environments. It's 15+1 round capacity. This gun will never leave you high and dry at the range or in a self-defense situation. Stu.
Exploding arrow crossbow.
You watched, somebody watched Game of Thrones last night. Somebody watched Game of Thrones.
That might be why I have a crossbow.
You want to see the gun for yourself and get registered? All you have to do is text Glenn to 87222 right now. That's 87222. Text Glenn to 87222. It'll reveal the identity of the gun and give you your 19 free chances to win. 100% free. The giveaway ends this Friday. So text the word Glenn to 87222 right now for the official rules and lock in your 19 entries before it's too late. Again, Glenn to 87222. Welcome to the program. We're very glad that you joined us today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we want to share with you what we've found about Joe Biden. This is part 2 in our series. You can watch it on Blaze TV in the archives from last night's broadcast. And we ask you to share it and share the information with your friends. It is quite remarkable. I'm going to go over the information because I think it's something that you need to know. And what is terrifying to me is, you know, we wondered why nobody looked into Gazprom. We know that, or Gazprom, the FBI arrested Russians that were trying to influence our government when Hillary Clinton released all the uranium to be used by Gazprom. They somehow or another had just passed, and it was just everybody looked the other way, and everybody thought that was fine, even though her husband had gone over at the request of that company and gave speeches and was paid handsomely, and then a nice donation to the Clinton Foundation was given. I wondered why at the time, why isn't anybody willing to look into this? I think it's because everybody's dirty. Everybody's dirty. The Clintons really kind of started this and made it into a business. And the one who has, at least that we know of, who has really taken this to a whole new level is Joe Biden. He has enriched his family in so many ways. As we told you yesterday, when the New York Times called his brother, who was in on one of these scams, he called his brother and they were in researching another thing that Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, was involved in. And it was bad news, really bad news. And Joe Biden's brother said, I had nothing to do with that. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to be pulled into all of this. And the question is, all of what? All of what? Perhaps you will see a glimpse into the world of Joe Biden and into the world of those who say they're just like you and they want fairness and they want equality. They really don't. They really don't. They're being paid handsomely, and it's a racket. Our government has become a racket in many ways.
I mean, again, you said, and I think it's true that, you know, there, you know, so many people are in on these types of things. I know I made 5 deals in China last week. My son Zach is a multi-billionaire now.
Right. But it had nothing to do with you.
Oh, it had nothing to do with me. No. Yeah. I mean, I just happened to go over there and, mm-hmm. and make sure. My daughter Ainsley got a construction project on a bridge over a massive river, which is incredible. She's 5, but she's you should see her with the Lincoln Logs. She's incredible with Lincoln Logs. And they just looked at her and they said, "You know what? She's got it. She's got what we need here."
That's the really unique thing here. When you see what the Bidens have pulled off, the brother is put onto a construction company board. He has no construction experience. Mm. This is a brand new company, and they get a $1.5 billion contract from the government.
It happens. Sometimes you just see potential. Right. Look, this person can build something, I think, probably.
When you see what the Bidens have done in China, it's really horrifying to see that how embarrassing and how corrupt our officials appear to be in other countries.
It's called good parenting, Glenn. No. You help out your family. Lori Loughlin told us all about this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You just get, when you have a little bit of extra money, a little bit of extra power, you put that to use to help your kids. What's wrong with that? That's just called parenting. We can all look to that as an example of how we should all live our lives.
Unfortunately, I think that's the mentality in Washington. I think that's the way they sleep at night. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, look, everybody's doing it.
Yep.
And I'm just helping out my family. But wait until you see. We're becoming an oligarchy. We really are. And the oligarchs are the ones who are already in office or climbing the ladder. Thank you very much. We're going into Joe Biden here in just a second. First, I want to tell you about our spotlight sponsor, and that is realestateagentsitrust.com. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home this year, go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Started this company a few years ago because I was having problems selling a home, and I always have had this problem. And I don't know who good real estate agents are. I don't know how to judge them. Started working with the 500 best real estate agents in the country, according to the Wall Street Journal, and learning from them what it takes. And then decided, you know, can I introduce you to my audience, please? So we started putting together a team of real estate agents from all over the country. One hopefully is in your area. These are the best in the business. They know your area. They have your sensibilities. They're fans of the show, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like meeting an old friend. RealestateAgentsITrust.com. These people will sell your home on time and for the most amount of money. And if you're going into a new area and you're looking for a new home, they'll help you find the right home. RealestateAgentsITrust.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, Joe Biden always likes to remind people that he's just Joe Lunchbucket. He's just, you know, Lunchbucket Joe, just the average guy traveling on Amtrak. You know, sure, they named the Amtrak station after me, but I'm just like the regular people, and I don't have an awful lot of wealth or anything like that. Mm-hmm. This is so carefully crafted by Joe. He doesn't realize that the American people are really kind of on to it. And when you hear the details of what we're on to, it's nothing but crony capitalism. The guy who says, you know, we just got to get business out of government. We've got to get the money to the people. Well, his greatest political achievement is being the biggest crony capitalist ever in the office of the vice president. This is the most corrupt man we've ever had in that office, and you will understand why beginning in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's American Financing. We are now in the spring home buying season. The competition is going to heat up again for mortgages and buying a house. If you are looking for a mortgage, you need to get a pre-qualification letter so you can start shopping right away. Now is the time to get into a new home. Interest rates are extremely low, making a new mortgage payment affordable. And in many cases, it's less than your rent payment. And I believe if I believe comes to pass, rent is going to become more and more expensive in the coming years. Right now, you can get a mortgage and a really good rate on a home that you can live in for, you know, the raising your family. Call 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, or AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net. Takes 10 minutes just to get started. These people do not have any upfront fees. They don't charge anything. They are also salaried employees. They are not on bonuses, so they work for you and not the bank. It's AmericanFinancing.net, 800-906-2440.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Last Thursday, on television, I did part one, a major chalkboard explaining how Joe Biden's son, Hunter, came to be on the board of Ukraine's largest private natural gas company, even though he has absolutely no natural gas experience. And even though the company, the natural gas company in Ukraine, was run by a notoriously corrupt oligarch, and $1.5 billion of U.S. money just simply disappeared through his fingers. As bad as things look in the Ukraine, it's the tip of the iceberg compared to what Joe Biden and John Kerry set up for their sons while they were vice president and secretary of state. I'm going to lay out quickly here the business deals in China
And it wasn't just massive money changing hands. This is profiting from companies that are actively trying to steal from and gain a competitive advantage over the U.S. This is a challenge to our national security. If anyone thinks that Joe Biden should be the candidate, I warn you, he is not on our side. In 2010, well, let me start here. 2008, the election happened. 2009, Joe Biden was made the vice president. Just a few months later, his son, Hunter, decided to start up a new business with Chris Hines. That's John Kerry's stepson. So now the vice president and the soon-to-be secretary of state are in business together, and they're doing an investment fund. Neither of them have any international investment background. So they bring in John Kerry's former finance manager for his campaign, who happened to be a roommate of theirs in college. They come together and they form something called Rosemont Seneca Partners. This is international investments. So they do that in 2009. And then just a few months later, in 2010, Joe Biden is meeting with President Hu from China in Washington as part of a national security summit. What?
Who?
You really have to, you want to go?
I just want to, you just
President
said,
Hu.
Who?
Joe. While Joe Biden was in this meeting, Hunter Biden was in China with his two Rosemont Seneca partners, John Kerry's stepson and the former campaign finance manager, Devon Archer. The trio had meetings. At the same time, Daddy is meeting with the head of China. The sons are meeting now with the executives from China's largest banks. Also China's sovereign wealth fund and their social security funds. A year later, Joe Biden meets with Chinese officials for the U.S. in China's strategic economic dialogue in Washington. 2 weeks later, Hunter Biden and his partners meet in Taiwan with the same Chinese financial guys that they met in China in 2010, plus some new ones. In the book Secret Empires, investigative author Peter Schweitzer says this to give you an idea of how important these meetings were. Peter writes, it's as if the son of the Chinese premier held a single meeting with the heads of Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, JP Morgan, Merrill Lynch, and Blackstone. Except in this case, these were government entities with trillions of dollars of capital to invest. In December 2013, Joe Biden traveled to China on an extended official trip with him. He took on Air Force Two Hunter Biden and his daughter. They were greeted by a red carpet delegation and children bearing flowers, and Vice President met with President Xi for over 5 hours, and they talked about everything. Now, what was Hunter doing? Well, Hunter was there for business as well. We don't know exactly who he met with or what was discussed, but we do know that just 2 weeks later, a deal was signed with Rosemont Seneca and the Bank of China. Now, 10 days after his trip, he closes on a deal with the Bank of China. This is the most powerful financial institution in China, and they form a joint venture with this startup company that has no one? How's that possible? Rosemont Seneca and the Bank of China merge and create a giant investment fund called BHR, Bohai Harvest Rosemont. Now think about this. The government-owned Bank of China funding a business that it co-owned with the son of the U.S. vice president and the son of the U.S. secretary of state. So this is Chinese government funding, and all of the Chinese government banking officials starting a new business in China with the son of the vice president and the secretary of state. That's quite amazing. And since the bank is government owned, it meant that business was completely intertwined with the communist government's goals.
But don't worry, nothing bad happened. Well, kind of. Now think of all of the foreign firms that are trying to do business with China that have established records. How did Rosemont Seneca score this sweetheart deal? And this is a sweetheart deal. It got to operate in a brand new Shanghai free trade zone where it could use $1.5 billion of Chinese government money to invest in China or any place in the world. Any place they decided that it would be good. And they brought those dollars home to the U.S., which was really great. First, however, they invested in something else. Now, remember, this is something that no other country, Goldman Sachs, doesn't have this relationship. How did this investment house, with two guys that don't have any real experience in this, a brand new firm with very few, if any, clients at the time, get a deal that Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase can't get? Well, they made a couple of investments in technology. In 2014, BHR, that's the Biden Hunter Biden organization with the Bank of China, invested in the China General Nuclear Power Corporation. Now, this is wonderful. CGN is a Chinese government-owned nuclear power company that sold off a stake of the company to outside investors. Now, here's the problem. At the same time that Hunter Biden and his group with China is buying this, CGN was under FBI investigation for stealing U.S. nuclear secrets. For years, CGN actively paid informants in the U.S. to smuggle nuclear secrets out. And the FBI probe, by the way, resulted in several Americans getting arrested. Yet while the FBI probe was going on, the son of the vice president and the son of the secretary of state, which was in business with the Bank of China, bought a stake in this company being investigated. Even after the arrests were made, Rosemont Seneca did not alter its relationship with BHR. Neither did BHR divest from the Chinese government-owned company that was stealing our nuclear secrets. Now, how is that possible? How did that not even get into the news? Here's the other one. In 2015, BHR partnered with the Aviation Industry Corporation of China. Now, what is that? The Aviation Industry Corporation of China is basically their Hewlett-Packard. Their Lockheed Martin. It is their big aerospace company. They build all of the fighters, all of the drones, absolutely everything. So here's Hunter Biden and Christopher Hines in a business deal with the Bank of China buying into AVIC, the big military contractor. And they decide that they need to invest in some new technology. And so they bring some of that money home. BHR bought 49% of a company here in America called Henegies, and AVIC bought 51%. So now they own 100% of this great company here in America. What do they do? Well, this company makes precision parts, and they specialize in anti-vibration technology. And the technology that they build and the parts that they make are known as dual use by the U.S. State Department, which means you can also use this on bombers, stealth bombers, and any kind of machine for war. Now, usually that has to be approved by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., and it was approved quickly. No big deal. But why not? I mean, the Secretary of State's son and the Vice President's son are the ones doing the buying. According to Schweitzer, a U.S. intelligence community has long recognized that the Chinese government is committed to acquiring Western machine tool technology, especially the kind of tech where it is difficult to distinguish between civilian and military use of the equipment. Also, it wasn't like BHR didn't know what it was getting into when it said, oh, you know what? We just did the nuclear deal, and that didn't turn out well. Of course, we still have that. But, yeah, they were spying against our country. We don't want to do another deal like that. A year before Hunter Biden and Christopher Hines decided to form a partnership with AVIC, the Wall Street Journal reported how this war plant stole technology related to the U.S. Air Force's F-35 stealth fighter. They stole that information and then they used it, manufactured the product, and put it into the stealth fighter for the Chinese. That's the company that the vice president's son invests in and then helps buy a critical machining operation here in America. So if you're keeping score, the company owned by Hunter Biden and John Kerry's stepson and their friend became the Chinese conduit to buy U.S. technology. Their company was also used to invest in Chinese nuclear power, helping support the company that had worked for years to steal U.S. nuclear secrets. Meanwhile, as all of these deals and investments progressed, Vice President Joe Biden and Secretary of State Joe Kerry were having ongoing sensitive talks with the Chinese government about multiple issues, including China's effort in 2014 to control the South China Sea. You tell me if Joe Biden, if he loves his country more than self. Is he putting himself or his family over the safety and security of our nation? In some cultures, this would not go well for somebody who is doing this to their own country. It is incredible to me that none of this has even been on the news. If Joe Biden runs, and this is not uncovered by the mainstream media, you will know he's not alone. If it's not covered by places like Fox, you will know, wow, the Democrats are not the only ones doing this. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about gold. China and Russia, they are buying massive, massive amounts. Yesterday was kind of a wake-up call for me again. It was just another one of those moments where you kind of look at what's happening in the news and you're like, the Western world is being erased. Now, yesterday it was just, we think, an act of God. It was an accident on Notre Dame. However, it was very symptomatic of our faith and our culture and everything just going away, burning down. Our currency is following in the same path as Venezuela, except Venezuela didn't have us. It didn't have what we have, which is the world's reserve currency. If you look at Venezuela now, it is worse than it was in Zimbabwe. That's saying something. Once we start to lose world currency, once we start to lose the gold standard in America, and Russia and China start to do business with Saudi Arabia, which they are, and Saudi Arabia, God forbid, ever says we'll take other things other than U.S. dollars, the dollar collapses overnight. That's huge. Everything you own is valued in dollars. Gold stands alone. Gold is the gold standard. And when things go crazy, even temporarily crazy, you need something of value so your family is safe and fed and you're okay. Goldline has that safety net for you. It's the legal tender bar, and it was made specifically for Goldline at my request for you. The Canadian Mint printed, or didn't print, forged, I think that's, what do you call it when you make a coin like this? Forged 10 1/10 ounce gold bullion bars. It's great for bartering. I want you to find out all about it. Read their important risk information at 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. Yeah. Man, I'm running so late. Stu has a quick government efficiency stat to pass on.
Yeah, Standard Oil was broken up, as you may remember. They started this process 110 years ago. And, you know, they, when they did it, they decided it was going to take about 6 months to do. Just finished.
I'm sorry, what?
They just finished the work, finally, 110 years later. They're all set now. Standard Oil. Now, the entire market has changed. Excuse me. Entire market has changed. Entire economy has changed. So this entire monopoly thing that they went after, now 110 years later, they're finally wrapping it up slightly longer than the 6 month deadline they had to do it. So it's
that is incredible.
It's incredible. And, you know, they only really tried to enforce it one time in the 30s. But it eventually, I mean, things like ExxonMobil came out of this and everything. It did eventually wind up being broken up, but there were still details being wrapped up. And finally, we're all set on that one. So if you were watching, if you had back in, you know, if you're 120, 130 years old and you had a pool, you happen to have 2019 in that pool, you are the winner. And you were also way ahead of the game.
I told them they're never getting done.
Of course, now it's going to be difficult to collect because all your friends are dead.
But what a winner you would have been.
Yeah.
What a winner you would have been. That's absolutely incredible. And if that doesn't show you the power of money in politics.
And in just complete inefficiency, right? These things drag on and on. We've talked about the tax for a flood like 50 years ago, that there's the flood has been cleared up. The water's no longer there. They're still collecting the tax for it. These things happen forever. This is why you don't want government to control your health care
or anything else in your life. All right, let me talk to you a little bit about LifeLock in a second, and we're going to come back, and we have Ami Horowitz, who is really great on something he found in our colleges.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Reason why I want to talk to you about LifeLock is the cybersecurity risk assessment has just been completed. The hundreds of millions of social media giants' users' records, including some plain text passwords, yeah, they've been exposed. No big deal. In fact, they were exposed and free and ready for public download. But that's no big deal. That's no big deal. IDs, comments, likes, reaction, check-in locations, names, you got it. There are so many ways that cyber criminals can take what is yours, and when your personal information is exposed, someone could use it to commit identity theft. That's where LifeLock comes in. They detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web, and if there's a problem, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can uncover those threats that you might miss on your own. So join now and get 10% off your first year. Use promo code BECK or call 800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code BECK and get 10% off right now. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com, promo code BECK.
The Biden thing's a little tough to follow. There's so many moving parts. You can see this all laid out on a chalkboard. Glenn did it on TV last night. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn.
We have Ami Horowitz, a documentary filmmaker and good friend of the program. He is he's a guy who has gone in. He did a great documentary. I'm sorry. We have Steve Katz on now. I'm sorry. Ami is coming up in a few minutes. I'm sorry. I thought it was Ami.
I'm just teasing the interview, which is coming up in a while.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Steve Katz is with us. He is the producer of Unplanned. He was an attorney for a long, long time until he moved to California, went out to the entertainment industry, and now is the executive producer of the movie Unplanned. Welcome to the program, Steve. How are you?
Thank you, Glenn. I'm great. How are you?
Very, very good. Congratulations on Unplanned.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been a labor of love, and it's been pushing a boulder up a hill, as they say in Hollywood, which is what it takes to get any movie made. But this one particularly, so I think we had to push a boulder up a hill wearing swimsuits in the snow, frankly, to get this movie made. But it has been kind of wildly successful and has exceeded our expectations. And more than anything, it's been really successful in changing people's minds and at least opening them to the possibility of looking at some critical issues in a new way.
So I will tell you, Steve, I didn't want to see this movie because I thought it would be, you know, the same crappy fare of a Christian movie that was preachy and everybody who was not on the right side was evil. And you guys did such a great job of making this not that kind of movie. Where I think it does reach a wide audience. I just talked to somebody last night who came up almost in tears and said, I have to thank you. I brought my family to see Unplanned, and I would never have gone, and I took the kids, and you know, they're teenagers, and they said, our conversations about this are completely different now.
Well, that's right, and I think, you know, so much of the credit goes to Abby Johnson, because her amazing true story, which is the foundation for this film, is just incredible, because she's someone who actually lived this story. She began as an ardent feminist. She was very pro-choice, and over time, she evolved, and she sort of saw what was happening. And of course, the filmmakers Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman are just incredible writers and directors. And you know, you mentioned earlier that so many of the films in the faith-based space tend to be not all that great, and you know, I've been involved in productions on both sides, but what you find in the faith-based space especially is you'll get, you know, people who believe, you know, have the beliefs, but they don't really write well. And on the other hand, you'll get people in Hollywood who see an opportunity, you know, just to make money, and they might be good writers, but they don't have the beliefs. And with Carrie and Chuck, you sort of get both.
So, Steve, I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to see it, did it really fall? We have a situation to where, and it was really apparent with Unplanned, you could not have advertising on entire networks, Lifetime, Up TV, Hallmark, HGTV, USA Food Amazing. Network, Travel Channel, DIY, Cooking Channel. You were not welcome anywhere. So let me just talk about that first.
And K-Love, a Christian rock station, no less.
How?
You know, Glenn, I think that people, frankly, are just afraid of this topic. And they're afraid of being tarnished, and they just don't want to touch it. Frankly, we don't buy that argument, because Hollywood embraces those sort of ads for you know, pro-abortion movies all the time. As we understand it, Sandra Bullock now has a property that she's going to be doing where she's going to play Wendy Davis, the you know, Texas state legislator who ran for governor. Does anyone really think that Google or, you know, Twitter will not be running ads for her film?
No.
It's astonishing.
Then what happened with Twitter on the opening weekend?
Yeah, so what happened with Twitter was we had had the account up for 7 months, and we had had up to, I think, about 100,000 followers or so. On opening weekend, the account was taken down on Saturday morning. No explanation given. All of a sudden, the account's not there. So what happened was our lead actress couldn't even follow her own movie on Twitter, and it caused an uproar. And to their credit, a lot of people, I think Shannon Bream at Fox and others, started, you know, tweeting Jack Dorsey saying, hey, what's going on? So they ultimately restored it a number of hours later, and you know, the excuse that they gave us just doesn't hold water. What they said was that they thought the account may have been linked to someone who was a bad actor and had a different account taken down, and so out of an abundance of caution, you know, they took down our account. But that really sort of smells, because the account had been up for 7 months, and it's just not a coincidence that they take it down on opening weekend.
So you had to go to Congress, did you not, and testify?
Well, yes, our director, co-director Chuck Konzelman, went to Congress. He spoke before a Senate hearing with Senator Cruz, and the topic was big tech censorship of conservative ideas. And by the way, it's not just Twitter. We try to run banner ads on Google, and Google advertises, you know, the banner ads as a service that's open to anyone for any viewpoint, any legitimate viewpoint, and they simply refuse to accept our banner ads. And to make the situation worse, and this is really kind of incredible, the day after Chuck testified, Google, when you did a Google search on the film Unplanned, It brought up the poster, and next to it, it described the film as drama/propaganda. I kid you not.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the day after he testified before the Senate. And, you know, we immediately then, you know, started checking to see what they were doing with other films. And if you can believe it, the classic Nazi propaganda film Triumph of the Will by Leni Riefenstahl, they didn't mark that as propaganda.
They did not.
It was not marked as propaganda.
That's the quintessential propaganda film.
It's a Nazi propaganda film, right?
How did they do Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore? Was that propaganda?
Oh, you mean the snow hasn't all melted on Mount
Fuji? No, it hasn't. No.
I guess it's still there.
Yeah.
Any of the Michael Moore movies, any of the Che Guevara movies were not listed as propaganda. So once again, you know, we raised an outcry and they rectified it. But the question is, why should we have to do that to begin with? Why can't they just be a neutral arbiter?
So Steve, as we try to break through barriers, the barriers just keep changing and they just put a new one in front of us. I mean, you know, first you have to make the movie yourself. So we do. Then you have to get it into movie theaters, and we do. Then you have to advertise. Well, we're losing advertising. We're losing the battle online, and we're being subjected to what I would call digital ghettoization. It's the same thing the Germans did to the Jews. Hey, talk all you want just behind this wall, so nobody will see you or hear you. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem, and it's just so rife with hypocrisy, because when you think about how even to this day, so many voices on the left continue to lament the blacklisting of the 1940s, and they lionize people like, you know, Dalton Trumbo and Paul Robeson, who were denied a platform and denied the opportunity to work because of their opinions. And so many of these same people on the left are doing employing the exact same tactics today. And it's like, why? Why are you afraid to engage in these battle of ideas?
So what do you think we do? What should we do? Have you heard any good solutions? How do we fix this? Because we're really only playing to our own tribe. If you're only hearing about it on Fox News, CBN, the Glenn Beck program, you're playing, right. You're preaching to the choir.
Well, you know, it is an uphill battle, but I think we have to kind of remain steadfast. And I think, you know, look, victory is for the bold. So you have to fight. And the good news is, in this day and age with the technology, it's never been easier for somebody to create a message and get it out there. Now, the flip side of that is, because it's never been easier, there's a proliferation of stories and film. So it takes more to rise above and get noticed, and that's where you do need the marketing. But, you know, I will say this, Facebook actually has been very even-handed and fair with us. And
shut up, really?
Yeah, the page has been up for, you know, for months, and we've had 17 million trailer views. And I've had some friends say to me, when I told them that the film was on Facebook, they were like, oh my God, how did you manage to keep that up? So, you know, look, I don't know if we slip through the cracks, but, you know, when Ted Cruz has these hearings, when we continue to put pressure on, I think that's what we have to do. And I just think that we have to not be afraid to push for what we want and make sure, you know, stories are told on both sides.
What are you going to do with the film now?
Well, it's out in theaters. You know, we have an A-plus cinema score, which only a couple films receive every year. That means people who actually saw the movie loved it. And that people that I think span the ideological divide.
Hang on just a second on that. Let me ask you this. Did you at any time worry that this thing would be either a dirge, or it would be one of those things where people would think, oh, geez, I should go see that movie, but I just don't want to go sit through an abortion movie. I mean, you hit the right balance to where you actually feel good leaving the audience or leaving theater.
You know, it's an interesting question. I don't know whether we considered that possibility. I think the filmmakers just made the movie that they thought needed to be made, and they trusted that, you know, if they did it right, people would come, and they have. So, you know, we opened in fourth place, defying all expectations opening weekend. We were in seventh place last weekend, and now in our third weekend, we were in 10th place on Sunday. And, you know, we're competing with big studio tentpoles like Shazam and Captain Marvel and Dumbo.
Yeah.
So, you know, the next step is going to be DVD and streaming, and we've had a lot of the people approach us because they want to get those rights. So we're in the midst of discussing those deals now. So hopefully, you know, in the next 3 to 4 months, we'll be out there on DVD and more people will have access.
Any idea of Netflix, Amazon?
Well, you know, we don't know. We hope so.
Can't imagine why not.
We hope so. You know, if they really represent all of America, you would think that they would want to have this movie on and they would want to show both sides. So we're optimistic, but, you know, if we get stonewalled, then I guess we'll pursue it ourselves.
If you get stonewalled, let me know, will you?
I absolutely will. And, you know, the filmmakers are very grateful for your support, and you've been a real stalwart, so thank you.
No, not a problem. Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it. Steve Katz, executive producer of Unplanned, which is still out in movie theaters. If you haven't seen it with your family, take them to see it this week. It will be very impactful in a movie theater, much, much more so. And it was impactful just seeing it, you know, on the small screen. It is something that you should see with your kids. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. The Simply Safe protects your home 24/7 with no hidden fees and no contracts. It is the fastest growing home security company in the U.S., protecting over 3 million people. They were started by a young guy who just really wanted to help his friends. They were up in college and their friends were being robbed. And he was like, you know what? I know we're all renting, so we can't put in an alarm system. Let me see if I can come up with something. Well, he did. And it turned into Simply Safe. It's an amazing company. You don't find many American success stories that are like this one, where the company is still run by the same people. They have the same values that they started with, and now they're protecting 3 million homes. Fear less in your own home. Go to simplysafebeck.com, get a 10% discount on the system. You will also be able to own the system. You're not going to believe the price is. You're going to be actually mad. If you've ever paid for an alarm system before, you're going to be so angry because you've been ripped off. I was ripped off. This will show you what it really takes to keep yourself safe. It's completely wireless and contract free. It's simplysafebeck.com. Save 10% now. Simplysafebeck.com. So let me ask you, Stu, did you watch Game of Thrones last night?
I did. I did my duty.
You did your duty.
First episode or moment I've ever watched of Game of Thrones
right.
last night.
What'd you think?
I was very confused.
You're very confused.
Yes, I have
all
some
right.
notes.
Okay, so here's Stu's review of Game of Thrones.
We have some good... Oh, there we go. Good Game of Thrones music. Okay, first of all...
This is nothing like good Game of Thrones music.
No, this is about the level of my review here.
Okay, good, okay. good.
The theme animation's really long.
Really long. Yes,
I believe
it's
still going from the episode I was watching.
Yes, okay. Not important
long.
To the storyline.
Okay, so I kind of came up with a cast of characters.
All right, good.
There's Blondie in white. You got uglier black hair woman. You've got guy with goatee. You've got guy with beard. You've got angry elf, red hair woman, and the boy band looking teen.
Okay.
Now, if I'm following it right.
I'm not sure.
The boy band looking teen is the son of the goatee guy, maybe? Not sure about that. I think I'm pretty sure that Winterfell is a place.
Yes.
Okay. The goatee guy may have been the king of Winterfell.
No.
Okay.
Well,
but he's not anymore. He was, but then wasn't not anymore.
Potentially. Well, yes. Yes.
Okay. The North.
Can you stop this music? This music is
no. This is
worse than this is worse than your review.
This
which is
rocking. The North might be the same as Winterfell. The same place, maybe? They're
the same area.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Winterfell is in the north.
Okay. And by the way, spoiler alerts here, just in case we get into anything.
So far, I haven't really understood much.
Okay.
So,
my understanding now is that Angry Elf, Goatee, Blondie, and Redhead are all on the same team?
Yes.
Okay. Blondie seems to be like a Siegfried and Roy of dragons.
Yes.
Okay.
All
see?
Right. Good,
I'm good,
good
at this.
Got it.
Angry Elf may have been married to Redhead.
Yes.
Okay. People seem a lot more attractive than I would expect from their difficult circumstances.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Goatee and ugly peasant girl hug and they like the same sword. That happened at one point.
Yes. It's yes.
Okay.
You've missed some of the nuance okay. of that relationship.
Okay.
Goatee guy yeah. and ugly girl like the same sword, I guess, yes.
Okay, so there's another queen. She looks kind of like a female Mick Jagger, maybe combined with Robin Wright. You know who I'm talking about?
I,
okay, maybe not.
Think,
right.
I,
Great line. If you want a whore, buy one. If you want a queen, earn one. That's a great freaking line.
Yeah, that's a great line. Is that the Mick Jagger looking?
That's a Mick Jagger lady. Yeah, okay. Yes, okay. Yeah. So I'm right on that. A guy is interrupted when having sex with three women, and he seems to be only moderately upset about it, which I feel like you'd be a little more...
I zip past those, so I don't know.
Okay, that happened. Let's see. Really impressive teeth for the era, I thought.
Yes.
Something. Some guy in a wheelchair and the boy band guy looked back at each other at the end, and that seemed important. I don't know about that.
Boy band.
And then finally, at one point, I did fall asleep, and I just woke up to someone being lit on fire while alive.
Okay.
Screaming.
Well, if you missed Game of Thrones, why even watch it? I mean...
You got the whole thing right there.
You got the whole thing, and... Oh, really? You nailed it, Stu. You nailed it.
First, let me tell you about our spotlight sponsor. It is American Financing. If you're looking to buy a new home, you're looking to refinance. Really important. If you have an adjustable mortgage, please refinance it now. Please. Rates could go lower. Most likely, the rates are going to go higher. And beyond that, I think it's going to be hard to be able to get a loan here in the next couple of years. So please, please refinance your loan or you could lose it because the interest rates could go through the roof. American Financing are the people that can help you with a 10-minute phone call, no matter if you want to refinance, if you want to have a loan for a brand new home, a second home, or even a consolidation loan. These people work for you. It's AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net. Call 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440. Visit AmericanFinancing.net.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Did anybody see? I didn't. Did anybody see the actual full Bernie Sanders thing on Fox News?
I did not, but I give him credit for doing it.
I do too, and I give it. I give credit to Fox for not being what everybody always says Fox is.
Yep, they were fair and they asked tough questions.
Right.
And I mean, but it was a. I mean,
and not
a bunch
tough.
Of clips
wait. And not the kind of questions that CNN would ask a conservative.
No, they were
CNN will ask a conservative. So why do you want to? Why do you want to stop women from having an abortion? Do you just hate all women, or is it just most women? And you're like, wait, what kind of question is that? None of those questions. In fact, I think they let him escape on a couple of things. One of them was just blatant, and we'll get to that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Have you done your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit yet?
No, I want to.
Do it. It's really amazing. You know, what's really incredible is how when you have a genetic test and it is showing you a little bit of your history, how intrigued you become on, wait a minute, I want to know when and how did marriages happen there? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
what happened to the history? It's really cool. This 23andMe is a health and ancestry service kit. So it's not just your ancestry. It also has 125 personalized genetic reports that may reveal the link between your DNA and your health and some of your traits and more, including your chances of developing certain diseases. Diabetes is a growing challenge in America. One in three adults in the United States has pre-diabetes. But 90% with pre-diabetes don't even know that they have it. This is something that they will show. Type 2 diabetes is influenced by genetics. It's not just lifestyle. It's not weight. Type 2 is a condition that can typically develop as we get older and is, you know, some of the factors that cause it include diet, lack of proper exercise, weight gain. But it's our genes, and you can find out if you are predisposed to this. 23andMe's type 2 diabetes report offers insights into your genetic likelihood for developing type 2 diabetes and empowers you with personalized results and tools that can help you prevent this disease and others. The report, developed from more than 2.5 million 23andMe customers who consented to participate in their research. It is 23andMe plus Ancestry Service Kit. Get one.
one now at 23andme.com/Beck. That's the number 23andme.com/Beck. 23andme.com/Beck. Quickly, let's look at the final numbers for the fundraising for the quarter. Do you have it?
Yeah, they're all out now. So, let's start from the bottom here. Wayne Messam. You might not know him. He's running for president. He's the mayor of Miramar, Florida. He's not on the top tier, I wouldn't say.
Only thing out of the sentence that says, what's his name? Say that sentence again.
Who is Wayne Messam? He's running for president. He is the mayor of Miramar, Florida.
Okay.
Not a top tier contender.
So the words that I understand in that sentence, president, okay, running for, and Florida.
Oh, everything Wayne, else? You know Wayne Newton.
Oh, Wayne. Okay, good.
So there you
Wayne.
Go. So he raised under $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in last place.
Yeah.
Julian Castro. Or
the big
Julian
ones.
Castro, 1.3 million. Go up to, let's see, Tulsi Gabbard, 1.9. Hickenlooper, 2 million. Inslee, 2.3. Andrew Yang, 2.4 million. Gillibrand, 3 million. Booker, 5 million. Klobuchar, 5.2. Elizabeth Warren, 6. Buttigieg, 7.1. Beto O'Rourke, or Bob Frank O'Rourke, 9.4 million. Kamala Harris, 12 million. Bernie Sanders, 18 million. By the way, Donald Trump, 30 million. In excess of $30 million.
And he didn't use very much last time.
No, he didn't. This is a difference from 2016, where he was really running on a skeleton campaign. I mean, all that talk was real. This time he has a legit campaign with all the bells and whistles. And I mean, it's going to be interesting to see this operation run with that sort of backing.
Now, Bernie Sanders on a town hall on Fox, which I applaud Bernie Sanders for being who he is and being willing to say when it was racist, apparently, to call people a socialist. I guess I don't know how I would be racist by calling him a socialist, but it was racist at one point to point out that people were socialist. He said he was a socialist anyway, so I have respect for him of just being who he is. Yes, I went and vacationed, in Cuba, my honeymoon in the Soviet Union. Who didn't do that? Well, nobody. But here he is in the town hall last night on tax breaks. Listen to this.
Your taxes do show that you're a millionaire. You did make a million in 2016, 2017. You're right, the 561 in 2018. But your marginal tax rate was 26% because of President Trump's tax cut. So why not say, you know, I'm leading this revolution. I'm not going to take those.
Why are you laughing?
But during...
Stop. And then rewind it just a little bit so I can get that again. You know what's amazing? He laughs. He goes, pfft. Why? Why, Bernie? If you believe that the government does the most good over charity and everything else, you are saying we need to have more money into the government and higher taxes because of these millionaires and billionaires. You are a millionaire. Most people would claim that somebody who makes $1.2 million is a millionaire. So you're a millionaire. You're one of the rich, the wealthiest 1%. Is that not even beyond 1%? 1.3 million? I think that's in the...
Yeah, that would be...
Like 0.8, yeah, 0.6, I'll look it up, like that. So he's beyond the wealthiest 1%, and he scoffs at paying taxes voluntarily. This is something I don't understand from socialists.
To be in the top 1% of U.S. earners, a family needs an income of $421,926.
So
family.
So what does an individual have to make? 1%.
Let's see. The average income of the top 1% nationwide is $1.32 million. So he's an average 1%er.
Okay, but he's a 1%er.
But you know what? You know who's cracking down on him? The high income 1%ers. That's who's cracking down on Bernie Sanders. There's always someone.
Yeah.
There's always somebody. Bill Gates or something. Somebody at the top. You know, Jeff Bezos is always cracking down on you.
So now listen to how he explains. And this is really important for anybody who is thinking about socialism. This is important for them to hear and you to point out and just say, okay, can you explain this? He believes the government does good things. He believes that healthcare should be taken care of, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not perfect, but it never will be because it will always be government. But if you believe that and you say, I'm leading this revolution, why isn't he taking everything over, let's even say, 250,000? That's still a good life for him and his wife.
You're still well into the top 10%.
There. Right. So why doesn't he just take 250,000 and the rest of it just give it to the government?
Right. I mean, you could say, what do they make in the Senate? 187, something like that.
Yeah.
It's less than 200,000. That's plenty for them to live on, though.
Right.
So you take that and all your book earnings go to not charity, but the government.
Right.
Because, you know, people are wrecking Bernie over his very paltry charitable.
Well, he gets
giving.
Into that, and I want to play that too. Mm-hmm. But that first part is, why not give it to the government? Mm-hmm. And their excuse will be, well, because the government is inefficient.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Welcome to the conservative movement.
Yes. Thank you, Cher. however, they'll say, well, it just has to be done right. Okay. So then why not give that to charity? Any kind of charity. Anything that he says he cares about. Education, college education. Why didn't he put how many people through college last year with just that extra money?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to his response.
Take those.
Because people don't.
I paid the taxes that I owe. And by the way.
Stop. He pays the taxes that he owes. This is the problem with progressivism and socialism. It goes against human nature. People are laughing because they know no one pays more than they have to. So when he goes, he's saying human nature is, you don't pay more than you have to. Why would I? And everybody thinks it's a funny question to even ask him.
It's so obvious and it's so obviously true.
It is so ingrained in human nature that you would never, ever do that. But he goes back and says, I paid what I was supposed to pay. Well, that's not what a leader does. That's not what a leader does. That's Donald Trump's answer. When they asked Donald Trump, you know, hey, well, your tax records, blah, blah, blah. He says, I paid what I was supposed to. And yeah, I did get breaks here and there. I used the system.
Right. But that's consistent with Donald Trump's ideology.
Exactly
right. He
wants
to pay less taxes.
Right. He believes in smaller taxes.
Yes.
So if you're offended by Donald Trump saying, I pay as little as I possibly can, I work the system. Okay. As long as it's within the law, fine. That's good. That's what you're supposed to do. You work the system and pay as little as you possibly can within the law. This is what Bernie Sanders is saying. But at the same time, he'll call Donald Trump an evil rich guy who doesn't want to pay his fair share. I thought it was your patriotic duty. Why would you scoff at patriotic duty? Play on.
Why don't you got Donald Trump up here and ask him how much he pays in taxes?
Wow, that was a great point.
So he says, I paid what I was supposed to pay. Why don't you get Donald Trump up here?
Well, that's what he said throughout the entire campaign. He pays what he has to. I mean, he would say the same thing you did,
yes.
Which is, revealing about you. Because, again, for Donald Trump, it's consistent with his ideology.
Yes.
It's not consistent with the ideology of Bernie Sanders to not give money to the government.
Now, he also says that, and it was right after this, they say, you gave 3.2% to charity last year. And he's proud of that. Yes, I did. My wife and I, we love giving to charity. 3.2%? 3.2%. That's what you gave.
I consider that to be consistent with Bernie Sanders' ideology. His position is that the government's supposed to do everything. So why is he giving to charity? Joe Biden never gave anything to charity.
But if you're not giving to the government.
Right. You got to also just give to the government instead.
I mean, people have to do their fair share, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not giving to the government, then you should be giving to a charity. Unless you think, hey, 26% of my income for the federal government is more than enough. I'm paying what I'm supposed to pay to the government, and that's more than enough. But then how can you be for higher taxes?
Right. I mean, Bernie Sanders has an opportunity to actually implement his plan with at least himself. He can pay 52% income tax himself. He can do it. He could just do it. Now, my idea of what I should be paying, I can't implement myself because I want to pay zero. So I can't do that. They won't let me do that. But they will let Bernie pay 52%. Why wouldn't he enact that? I would be happy to do it.
I would pay, honestly. If you could set it, you wouldn't set it at zero.
I would set it at zero, yes.
You'd set it at zero?
I would. There's plenty of other tax revenue coming in from other sources, and I would not tax income. It's a terrible thing to tax. You're discouraging work. You're discouraging productivity.
All right. So, but you'd have to have massive changes on that.
You'd have to have massive changes. As far as cost goes, the cost of the government, yes. I mean, it's about 12 or 13 years, if I'm off, I'm off by a little bit. But if you were to zero out the income tax for people, you would have to roll back to the spending of about 12 or 13 years ago. So you'd go back to, you know, late Bush administration level spending. You don't think we can do that?
Yes,
really?
We could.
You don't think we can handle that? We can't run this country on late Bush administration spending?
Yes, we could.
You could. So I would tax it at zero. And even if you were going to go with something else.
I was thinking just the studies always show that it's somewhere between 15 and 19%. Is
what comes in anyway.
Is what comes in no matter what you do. So taxing a flat 16%, there's nothing wrong. As long as you're not raising all the other taxes, just 15% or 16%, something like that. I don't mind paying, you know, an income tax to be able to further the things, the structure that we need to further.
I think what you mean to say here, if I may put words in your mouth, is you don't mind paying a tax to support the government, right? We have defense needs, right?
Yes.
We all understand that. But we have plenty of money to pay for all the things the Constitution wants the government to do without an income tax. We didn't have an income tax for most of our history. I would love to see Republicans get on board with repealing the 16th Amendment.
I would too.
Going for it. You know, there's all these wussy rules. They're like, oh, well, let's cut the rate by 0.3%. Like, how about going for it here? The government has plenty of money, and it also is one of those things where you have to cut spending, obviously, or we would go into insane debt in that scenario. But I would love that. I would go to zero.
I want to bring that back up and play something from a Democratic nominee that he said yesterday. It was Buttigieg, and he said something that I thought, no, you're stating this incorrectly. And it goes right to what you just said about the Republican. You'd love to see them go after the 16th Amendment as part of their agenda. Here we go. X-Chair. Lesson in ergonomics. The definition in applied science concerned with designing and arranging things people use so that people and things interact most efficiently and safely. Ergonomics. Ergonomics mean really to me, to boil it down, comfort. Comfort. Is it just like you sit in a room and you sit in a chair and it's just like, I don't want to move. This is perfect. The X chair is that chair.
Yeah. You don't even feel like it's like, you don't even feel like you're sitting in a chair. It's just like, it's just perfect. And every, like it supports the right things. It's lazy in the right places. You can lean back. You can act like you're listening in a meeting and fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. I wish I was listening to you right now, but I'm not. I'm sitting back in my X chair. 8444X chair. 8444X chair. Or xchairbeck.com. Get $100 off now. It's an incredible chair. 30-day money back guarantee. 1-844-4X chair or xchairbeck.com. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. I want to play yesterday, Buttigieg, on what most Americans don't want. Listen to this.
The Republicans in the Senate changed the number of justices on the Supreme Court. They changed it to 8 until they took power, and then they changed it back to 9. So, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is no less a shattering of norms than what the other side has done, but we're proposing it to do it in a way that is more inclusive, I would say more constitutionally sound, more appropriate, and will, just by the nature of the checks and balances in our system, have to go through a very thoughtful and rigorous process. I think that if they try tinkering with the system, again, they're already doing it under the table in so many ways, but if they try doing it more nakedly, they're going to encounter resistance because most Americans don't want this. Most Americans don't want the conservative agenda that we're now seeing, the extreme agenda.
Okay, first of all, I find it amazing as a guy who says, let's count all the votes. If they start tinkering around the edges, they're not tinkering around the edges. This guy is talking about getting rid of the Electoral College, which is fundamental in our system of government. Mm-hmm. Absolute fundamental. So they're not dinking around the edges. They're going right to the heart of it. So it's a little hard to swallow this from Buttigieg. Now, here's what I found interesting. He said most people don't want the extreme conservative agenda. Can somebody tell me what that agenda is? I know exactly what the Democratic agenda is. I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Socialism. High taxes. Huge government. Government welfare. Government health care. Even to the extreme of the end of the free market. Can you tell me what the Republican agenda is?
You know, build the wall-ish. I mean, like, obviously, when they've had the opportunity to build the wall, they haven't done it. They had control for 2 years, and we're not able to do that. But I would say that seems to be a priority of the president and seems to be a priority of at least border security in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you'd say,
don't go for the Trump agenda, because that would be like the Buttigieg agenda,
right?
What's the conservative Republican agenda?
Well, I think right now it's whatever Trump says. I don't think that there's a separation at this point. The Republican Party is a mechanism designed for good and it's been good in a lot of ways. But it's designed specifically to support Trump's policies. I mean,
it's always been that way, the president's policy.
I think generally speaking, it's been true. Mm-hmm. They have not come through in many cases, by the way, for President Trump. I mean, I think on Obamacare, probably most clearly, then they could have easily done that and didn't. So it's not, this is not a criticism of Trump. It's just does not seem to be any room for anyone to speak up, with the exception occasionally of foreign affairs issues. I would say that they spoke up pretty loudly on Syria. They've opposed some of the foreign affairs stuff, but I mean, other than that, there doesn't seem to be much of an agenda at all separate from the president. And some of those things, like the judges, that's a priority. The border is a priority, but there's not a lot of dreaming going on. The tax cut's a perfect example of this. I mean, I'm talking about repealing the 16th Amendment. You know, Ted Cruz's campaign policy was a 10% flat tax. Donald Trump's campaign policy was far more aggressive than what they actually ran through Congress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the congressional one, like, with the, you know, the, there was a decent cut in the corporate tax, and everything else was something that Jeb Bush could have pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as an agenda goes, I don't know. I feel like they're just fighting these battles day to day. What's in the news today, they just go, oh, well, we're on the other side of them.
They are. Donald Trump, since the Mueller report has come out, has moved to offense.
Yes.
The Republicans, I don't know if they're offense or defense. I think they're on the bench the entire time. I don't know what their agenda is. No one has really articulated what the party really stands for and what we're trying to achieve. I know what the Democrats are trying to achieve. What is it that we're trying to?
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Let me talk to you a little bit about FilterBuy, filterbuy.com. This is great, a great service. If you are like me and you're just, I get to Saturday and I'm like, I don't want to run around town and pick up a bunch of stuff. I don't want to do all that. Well, now you don't have to. Filterbuy.com. You can buy the filter for your air filter so you don't have to go out to, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever. All you have to do is just have that filter delivered right to you. They'll do it automatically. They have over 600 sizes for your air filter. Now, with the summer months coming, you've got all that pollen in the air, all that stuff. You've had your doors closed, so that filter is probably filthy from the winter. You got to get a new filter, and you'll save 5%. Just for not going to the hardware store anymore. You'll save 5% if you just say auto renewal, and they'll just send it every time you have to change your air filter. Go to filterbuy.com. Tell them Glenn Beck sent you. It's filterbuy.com.
Okay, Bernie Sanders, grab your pen. It's U.S. Department of Treasury Funds Management Branch, P.O. Box 1328, Parkersburg, West Virginia 26106, for gifts to the United States.
You know what's amazing to me is the University of North Carolina, Duke, UNC, is the place that was on fire because it was racist. Except it wasn't. But the press covered it like crazy without any facts. Once the facts came out, next. Now, Duke, University of North Carolina, is having another problem, except this time no one's paying attention to it, except Ami Horowitz, a friend of the program and documentary filmmaker. Ami, welcome to the program.
Always a pleasure, Glenn.
So, what is happening at Duke?
Look, let me back up and kind of explain kind of genesis of what happened. I was sitting on Bondi Beach in Australia, and I was just scrolling through the internet, and I saw this conference, joint conference between Duke and UNC, ostensibly about the conflict in Gaza. So immediately I knew, okay, this is clearly going to be an Israel hate fest. So I went there to kind of cover it to see kind of how anti-Israel it was. Was it going to be balanced at all? What I didn't expect to find was absolute and egregious open anti-Semitism throughout this conference, right? And I can't understate how big this conference was. It's a joint conference between Duke and UNC, two of the most prestigious schools in the country. Every major department and school sponsored, the School of Law, the School of Medicine, the School of Pharmacy, department, every single department and school sponsored it. And it also got a $250,000 grant from the U.S. government.
Oh, my gosh. For what?
For anti-Semitism. For anti-Semitism, Glenn. And I don't mean the anti-Semitism of, hey, you know, I hate Israel, so therefore I'm an anti-Semite, right? That's one thing. And by the way, just to be clear, if you hate Israel at the exclusion of other quote-unquote bad actors, Iran, North Korea, Sudan, by the way, just so you know, you're an anti-Semite. But let's not have that debate or argument. I'm talking about, I went to the conference and I started asking students and administrators and professors a simple question. I said, does Jewish money control the U.S. government? I probably talked to 40 or 50 students, and with the exception of two, and I know that number because it was only two, everybody else said, of course, Jewish money controls the U.S. government. They control decisions around the world. A basic one of the most damaging anti-Semitic tropes you could imagine. If it only stopped there, Glenn. Because the next thing that happened is they had the main entertainment for the evening, right, that they flew in from Israel was a Palestinian-Israeli rapper, an Israeli Arab, but they call themselves, you know, Palestinian Arabs now, Palestinian Israelis now. So he gets up there and he proclaims to this packed auditorium, packed. He says, this is my anti-Semitic song. I'm thinking, okay, I don't know, maybe he's joking. What the hell is he talking about? And then he starts to rap, this horrific rap, and he continues to egg the audience on by saying, guys, you're not being anti-Semitic enough. Let's bring it up to a 10. Let's take it up to Mel Gibson levels anti-Semitism. And the crowd is going wild. They're singing and cheering him along the song. And he ends this thing with, guys, you guys are beautifully anti-Semitic. Thank you for not letting me be anti-Semitic alone. Okay? And the whole while, the head of the guy who brought the conference to put the conference together, a guy who works for UNC, a professor there, an administrator there, he's sitting there smiling the entire time. Glenn, it was one of the most egregious, disgusting events I have ever witnessed in my life. And you know, I've seen some bad stuff.
Okay, I'm going to play the audio. This is part of the audio in the video that you captured at Duke UNC.
I'm Ami Horowitz, and I'm here on the campus of the University of North Carolina, where UNC and Duke are holding a joint conference on the conflict in Gaza. So I came here to get a sense of the perspectives of the people attending the conference. This was a major conference with hundreds of students, professors, and administrators who spent a weekend bashing Israel and whitewashing the terrorist organization Hamas. If it only stopped there. This is a professor who I asked about her views on the spate of attacks in New York by black teens on Jews and synagogues.
Blacks have a lot of also reason to be angry at Jews now.
The conference wouldn't allow me to film inside, so my sound guy set me up with a hidden mic. With very little prodding, the veneer of being anti-Israel in an effort to hide their hatred of Jews was easily scratched away and devolved into open anti-Semitism. I first asked them about the most powerful modern anti-Semitic trope. Does Jewish money control U.S. government policy?
U.S. government policy? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You guys, not you guys. Jewish lobbyists are very rich.
The Jewish lobby is influencing our government and how that's changing U.S. policy. That's
one. It's directly known for everyone.
With you on that one.
They're influencing our politics.
You know, the money rules the world.
Yeah.
No, meaning like makes the decision.
I appreciate your courage. Oh, this is interesting what you are doing, right?
Yeah.
Impressive.
I'm Jewish. I don't know. Is
Yeah, I could already tell. You didn't have to tell me.
I don't take offense to that at all.
No. I mean, I appreciate people who are questioning their own background.
Look at the treatment of Ethiopian Jews, right? Jews that are supposedly in the club, but they're Ethiopian. They're black. Refugees who come to Israel, assuming it's a Jewish state, have actually been sterilized in the past.
Or you're telling me that the Jewish government sterilized Ethiopian Jews coming into Israel?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the featured entertainment for the event came on stage. He proceeded to, well, let's let the video do the talking.
Anti-Semitism. Yeah, okay. This is my introduction. I know it sounds R&B stuff, but don't think of Rihanna when you sing it. Think of, don't think of Beyonce. Think of Mel Gibson.
Oh my God.
Go that anti-Semitism. Just try it together, because I need your help. I cannot be anti-Semitic alone. Oh! I'm in love with the Jew. You look beautifully anti-Semitic.
This is crazy.
I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
Why?
The director does not want you. You know, he used to be Philadelphia, so I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
But I have to ask you to leave.
You don't have to call the police.
Are we causing trouble?
We don't understand what your intentions are.
We're still asking you to leave the premises, sir.
Just days after the conference, swastikas were found on campus. 38 of the largest departments and schools at the University of North Carolina sponsored this event. It also got a federal grant of nearly $250,000. They should all be ashamed.
Wow. Ami, that is crazy. As somebody who knows history, and you being Jewish, you know this history. Were you afraid? I mean, was this something that goes right to the center of your being? Of, oh my gosh, here it is again.
It goes right to my core. Look, as you're alluding to, Jewish history is replete with pogroms, massacres that have occurred because of events like this, honestly. Now, I'm not saying this is going to lead to a pogrom, although it did lead to a when I released that video, there was that one, I mentioned the incident where they were printing swastikas in some dormitories, but in the days that followed the release of the video, the anti-Semitism has increased, and there were anti-Semitic posters put up in the library. But these are the kind of events that lead to significant problems for Jews. And what's so important to point out here is this did not happen. I know this is obvious, but I think it bears repeating. This did not happen in some kind of Ku Klux Klan rally that happened to have caught, right? This is at two of our most prestigious universities in this country. And, you know, we're used to the usual suspects of anti-Semitism coming from neo-Nazis, radical Islamists, right? We all know that. I've reported on it, right? We know that's clear. But what we're seeing, and this is not a trend that's, by the way, happened in the last 2 years. It's over a 10-year trend. We're seeing that this is coming from the left, okay, from the alt-left, if you will. And we're not just seeing it in the halls of academia. We're seeing it in the halls of Congress. You don't think Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, they're not partly responsible for this? Of course. They're allowing this. I love when they blame the president for allowing coarseness into our dialogue, okay? This has nothing compared to what we're hearing from the halls of Congress. And now we're seeing the halls of academia. And yes, this is something that troubles me to my core, Glenn.
I mean, I, you know, one of the reasons why we didn't stop the Holocaust is, in my opinion, FDR was a racist and a bigot. In many ways, he was with the Japanese and he was with Jews. And Morgenthau tried to talk to the president about it, but FDR's response was always the same, and it was the same in Europe and in Germany. And I heard it on that tape, and it chilled my blood. Well, these fill in the blank on the videotape, it was blacks, have a lot of reasons to be angry at the Jews. That is exactly what was said in Germany, then Europe, and in our own White House when we did nothing. Well, they brought it upon themselves. They, you know, they got greedy, and they might start talking about the bankers. That's a ruse. They mean all Jews. They mean all Jews. Hami, I pray that people will wake up, and I thank you so much for your bravery. God bless you.
It's my, always my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn.
Ami Horowitz from Ami, A-M-I, Horowitz.com, AmiHorowitz.com. You can help finance his documentaries and his truth-telling. He goes out, and he is a brave, brave guy. Boy, after looking at that, things are going to become more dangerous as the days go on. Yesterday may have been a blessing. May have been a blessing because it was an example of what's happening to us. Our faith is burning down to the ground. Our culture is burning down to the ground. It may have been a blessing because, as we think so far, and I believe this, that it was just an accident from the construction. And that may have been a blessing because if it would have been Islamic terror, it would have absolutely set the entire continent on fire. We would probably be talking about more troops and more bad things today. In Europe, had that been an Islamic extremist that did that. But it is also a blessing because hopefully it will wake even a handful of people up to what is coming. Turn back to God. Turn back to God. Evil is growing in strength, and God's people are asleep. Turn back to God and beg his forgiveness, and he will heal our land.
All right, let's talk to you about Brick House Nutrition. Great company. They make Field of Greens. You've heard us talking about that before. They also make something called Dawn to Dusk. I've been basically addicted to the energy drink world. I'm not a coffee guy, so I'm constantly downing the energy drinks all day to get through Glenn's boring meetings. I mean, if you think he's boring on radio, oh my gosh.
Wait,
you should hear
minute.
Him when he's in the meetings.
Hold it, just a second.
Torture. So I was looking for something that would, you know, get me off the constant energy drinks thing, and Dawn to Dusk is the perfect solution to this. It's an extended release energy supplement. It lasts up to 10 hours, so you don't have to worry about going back to the well over and over again in a day. It gets you through all those tough Glenn Beck meetings and whatever Glenn Beck you work with that bores you just tears in any meeting. It improves your mood and improves your focus. You can actually listen to Glenn. Unlike coffee and energy drinks, there's no crash as well. There's no jitters. That's another issue with some of the stuff. You don't have to deal with that with Brick House Nutrition's Dawn to Dusk. Go to BrickHouseGlenn.com. Get 15% off your order with the offer code Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, or call them 833-RING-BHN. That's 833-RING-BHN. Dawn to Dusk is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So your money, get your money back if you don't like it. Nothing to lose. Go to BrickHouseGlenn.com or call 833-RING-BHN.
Hmm.
So you're just going to go the whole show then? That's the plan, I guess.
The plan was to do the whole show today.
No, I'm saying doing the whole show without mentioning your hateful comments.
What?
I mean,
what?
This is so typical of you. Just avoid it the whole time. I'm not going to let you get away with it. I let you get away with it for 2 hours and 50
what,
minutes.
What was my hateful
You are trending
today?
Nationally right now.
What?
And they've got you this time.
Oh, do they?
They got you this time. It's your dad.
What did I say?
You said, Glenn Beck compares Notre Dame fire to 9/11. This is their World Trade Center. That's not the same at all. First of all, it was two buildings at the World Trade Center, not one. That's number one. Number two, I don't know if you know this, Islamic extremists did the whole 9/11 thing. And then here you are. I guess you think that's what that would happen here in Notre
good
Dame.
God. I started the show with debunking that. We started the show with debunking that.
Sure.
Yeah. But so you got
what
that.
If you're on
Here's
the
what I
hear
said.
It.
Here's I'm really trending nationally on this.
Yes.
This is insane.
Amazing.
Here's what I said. It was their 9/11. When I watched this, I even said on the air today, maybe it was just me, did anybody feel the same way? When I watched that tower, that spire fall yesterday in the flame and the smoke, I had the same feeling I had on 9/11.
I mean,
and this was theirs. They're watching this icon.
As someone who doesn't enter this moment despising you, it just to me, you said it's two iconic buildings collapsing in fire. That's what I got out of that.
That's what I got.
They're trying to read something else into it, I guess. But
We wait for the facts. So far, it looks like it was construction. I'm 99% there. I want to see the evidence.
Yeah, they haven't released
the
final cause yet.
Released the final cause. There, I'm taking them at their word.
Right.
As we should do. I'm mourning. I'm not angry about this fire. I'm mourning this fire. In fact, if anything, in some ways, it was a wake-up call. Use it for goodness. Use it as a wake-up call. Oh, social media is just a joke.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.